Welcome to the teaching ministry of pastor, teacher, and healing evangelist, Billy Burke. Today, our pastor has a special word just for our partners. Now, here's Pastor Billy.
Oh, I'm telling you, did you ever just feel like I need to hear a word for this moment? I believe this is it for you. I really, really do. In your Bible today, turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. Got a great word for you today. And it's over here in verse 25. It says, "And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Peter answered and said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to the water, on the water. He said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the winds boisterous, he was afraid, and he beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately, underline that word immediately. I mean, that's, how many like immediate blessing, immediate visitation? If you're like me, you like immediate answers. Immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand, not tomorrow, not next week, not next year. Something began instantaneously. Now, there's people that teach that doesn't happen today, that everything today is progressive. Some things are. Why are things progressive? Well, God's working with you. He's working with me. Oftentimes, we're not in the position to have instant things happen outside of sovereignty. But there's things that we can do in our personal walk that can get God to move sooner than later. Let's look at this, because it's very simple in its full nature of this. Immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said, O thou of little faith, wherefore did you doubt? And when they were coming to the ship, the wind was ceased. The one thing we know in this story, the one thing that we know, if you look at this part here, that when he saw the wind boisterous. So we see that, and we know that he looked at the wind, at the water, looked at the water. The wind was blowing, and he caught a hold of the wave, and he looked at it, and that's what took his focus off of Jesus, and he began to sink. Jesus said, Why do you doubt? Where's your faith? And, you know, Peter gets really crucified in a lot of sermons over, don't take your eyes off the Lord. Well, maybe you've never been out at sea at nighttime, you know, and facing a storm of this caliber. And it's easy to say, don't do this and don't do that. And I don't think Peter was strictly looking at the wave. I believe he was Jesus' wave. I believe he was looking at both. He really had a broken focus. We know that. But one thing we never hear, and that is, how did he get his focus back on the Lord? Sure, he took his focus off the Lord. And sure, as we read this story, it's real to all of us that there's times we take our eyes off of the healer and we get looking at the x-ray, or we study the internet about our disease, or we take our credit score super serious, or whatever. We get our eyes on what people are saying. You know, what the choir director thinks, and et cetera, et cetera. You know, and we get affected by it. You know, we get depressed, possibly. We get negative. We get critical because of what other people are saying. And you're thinking, well, that's not what the Lord is saying. That's not what the written scriptures are saying. That's what people are saying. And so how do you get back on track? Did Peter get back on track? Well, he got rescued. So he took his eyes off the Lord. How did he get back on track? Instantly. Not back on track a year later. Instantly. Here's what I want to say. He used his mouth. He called on the Lord. His eyes took him away from Jesus, but his mouth brought him back to Jesus. If he hadn't cried out for help, he could have thought, I'm a disciple. I don't need to call out for help. He could have thought, I'm one of the main three. See, there were 12, but there was an inner circle of Peter, James, and John. There was 12, but there was three that was even closer to Jesus than the other nine. So he could have had entitlement issues. He could have had pride in her in. I'm Peter. I don't need to call out to Jesus. I walk with him. There could have been a number of things run through this great man's mind. But he really became humble in the time of need. He didn't need, you know, he didn't need to be reprimanded. I mean, really reprimanded deeply. He needed to be corrected. He needed to be adjusted. Of course, we all do. But in that moment, he pushed aside entitlement. He pushed aside pride, and he began to yell out, "Save me, I perish." There will be many times in your life, many times in my life, whenever I run into something that's bigger than my faith. My faith has grown over the years. Yeah, thank you, Lord. But there's always something that you run into that's bigger than your faith, and you need to join your faith to a faith that's higher than yours. And most of the time, we know for sure that's Jesus. But sometimes it's people right in your own circle who may have greater faith than you in an area. You know, Elijah had so much faith that he could pull fire out of the sky. He had so much faith that he was able to slay all the prophets of Baal. He was able to do amazing things. Yet he didn't have enough faith to face Jezebel, one woman. And he ran for his life, and you know the story. Sat under a juniper tree, wanted to die. Became suicidal, the great prophet. Faith for everything, but not faith for that. And so sometimes we find ourselves in areas where we have developed parts of our lives that are fully developed and other parts that have yet to be developed. It's like in your house, some rooms are all ready to go, they're decorated, and then you got those rooms that still need a little bit of help. You know, you got a closet full of clothes, and some of them work and some of them don't work. You know what I'm trying to say to you. And here's a story where Peter really ran into something that was bigger than him. And Jesus wasn't that far away. He was in the picture. So it isn't like that, you know, this means we're unsaved or we're not quality believers or we're not people of faith. It means that sometimes that in this faith developing process, you run into something that you realize you're speaking and it comes back at you. Your mountain don't move and you know, and you don't seem like your prayers are being heard. That don't mean you quit. How many people I run into and they say, I did that, I tried that, and it didn't work for me. I tried tithing, it didn't work for me. I tried speaking in tongues and it didn't work for me. I went to the elders and that didn't work for me. And they're so quick to tell you something didn't work for them. And so I often say, well, how long did you do that? You know, and they'll tell me how long they did that. And then they use that as a reason to pull out of faith and to quit. You know, and then to find a reason to say, well, I did all that and nothing happened to me. It's in that moment whenever you feel nothing's happening to you. I don't know if you're there today, but if you are, to take a chapter out of Peter's life, because we have those. We have those. And Peter, think about this. He was risking enough to get out of the boat to begin with. He did walk on water. I mean, yeah, he sank, but he walked on water. I tell people, if you think that is easy, fill your bathtub up with water tonight and try it. You know what I mean? He was walking on top of the sea. So before he sank, he was a person of great faith. But he happened to do something, and that was he looked at that wind, boisterous. Any one of us could do that. But in that moment, he didn't go down with the ship. He used his mouth to say, help, help. You know, sometimes many people have been rescued on an abandoned beach because they wrote the word help in the sand and a plane saw. There's many stories and accounts of that taking place, especially back in the war days. It's not wrong. It's not a sign of weakness. It's not a sign that you've backslid to need help outside of yourself. Of course, it's admirable to fight everything with the faith that you have. But when you go to the doctor, you welcome his assistance. When you go to the mechanic, you welcome his assistance. Help me, Mr. Auto Mechanic Man. Help me, Mr. Tax Man. You know, help me, Mr. Doctor Man. You know, we are so quick to know I need help with the doctor and with the tax man and with the auto mechanic man. And on and on. And you need your pet poodle trim. So you don't trim it, but you go to the poodle lady and trim the poodle. We need help in so many places. And you just do it. But sometimes when it comes to this, I don't know, something comes over us. Well, I don't need that. I know the Lord. Nobody said you didn't. But I trust the Lord. I'm sure you do. But it's at that level where God says, hey, it needs to be strengthened. It needs to be refined. And right now, here's where you're at. Use your mouth. Use your mouth. Now, when I say use your mouth, I'm not saying use your mouth, you know, with other people. I'm saying go to the source that has the ability to strengthen you. What's it say? And immediately. You can begin to release something immediately to you today. Why? Because what's he say? His eyes are over the righteous and his ears are opened to their cry. God's ears are always open. They're never closed. He's always listening for that beeping sound that one of his sons, one of his daughters has run into something bigger than their own faith. It's happened all through the scripture. It's happening in many people's lives when they come to the crusades. Many of these people, you know, they have phenomenal Bible knowledge. They have a love for God equal to mine or anybody's. But they've run into something that's a little bigger than where they walk. You know, God helps humble people. He resists the people that just, you know, I don't need that. I don't need a service. I don't need a preacher. I have many people come to our meetings and they can't wait to tell me, I don't need you. I don't need your prayers. I'm standing in faith. I said, I want you to stand in faith. I don't want you to need me. But we don't say to the doctors, we don't need the doctor. I don't need the surgeon. Today's culture today, they want to defund the police. This cancel culture today wants to cancel everything. Yeah, even the church, even the way we worship, what we believe. We're fighting inward battles and we're fighting outside battles. I think Paul talked about that in the Gospel to the Thessalonians. Sandwiched between this strategy of destruction, working at eroding the base foundation of your faith. Ask for help. Well, who do I ask? Well, if I remember what Jesus said, he said, when I leave, I'm going to give you another, the Comforter. He's your Parakletos. It's the Greek word up here, Parakletos. It means your helper. He will help you, but you got to ask him. Well, why don't he just do it? Why do I got to ask him? There's that humility factor. God wants you to need him. He don't want you because you're holding a ticket to heaven to think you don't need him through life. Yeah, but I have a promise from God. Yeah, but don't you need him to help you hold fast to it? There's a lot of times I've held on to a promise and it's so much bigger than me, especially if you're dying, especially if there's no relief in sight for your money, your finances. And your grip may be slipping on the promise, even though it takes faith, but it takes great patience. So who's going to help us? How many people really have the time to take out of their busy life to be there for you and help you? How many people really have that? Doesn't mean they don't love you. Doesn't mean they don't care about you. So many people say, where's people when you need them? Sometimes God doesn't let people get to you so you can go to him for help. Remember when Elijah said, I'm the only one that's left that's faithful to you? And God said, excuse me, I have a few thousand people that haven't bowed their knee to Baal. Well, if God had a few thousand people that haven't bowed their knee to Baal, why did he not connect them to Elijah? Because he wanted Elijah to come to him. God's wanting you to get vertical in this season of your life. Horizontal's great, but vertical's the best. Get vertical today. Need him today. Know that he's the one. I mean, he's the one that we stand complete in. Isn't that what Colossians says, the book of Colossians? Beautiful verse in Colossians. We're complete in him. I mean, you're not even complete, you know, in anything that we do except in him. There's always something missing, no matter how much money, no matter how happily married, you know, no matter what business you've built, no matter how much anointing he's put on you, no matter how much you learn to sing. And that's the danger of today's world. Preachers learn how to preach. Singers learn how to sing. And there's no need to say, Lord, anoint me. No need to say, anoint me, Lord. We need him to do the service he's called us to do. We need him to keep believing. We need him. And we need everything that he's recorded here. I mean, we need every piece of contact of him. We need to be around the leaders he's raised up and to get in their shadows. We don't outgrow people. You know, we may grow, but we're always in need of the people that he connects us to, because you never know whenever it's going to be his hand through their hand rescuing you. His anointing through them praying for you. Isn't that what this really is? But it stems from the fact that Peter used his mouth. He didn't just think it. He just didn't think, you know, I really need the Lord right now. Sometimes we don't carry the whole law of faith to its fullest extent. Whatsoever you sayeth. Isn't that what Jesus said in Mark chapter 11? Whoever saith, isn't faith released through these words? Even words have helped me. If more people would have reached out and asked for help, they may not have died before their time. May not. If more people would have reached out, that marriage may have been saved. But something happens in our time of need. We'd rather lose. We'd rather be defeated sometimes than to be humble. Humility works. God's not going to be disappointed and give you a bad grade on your report card because you're a preacher today and you have to say, help me. He's not going to holler down and say, well, what did my word say? He may say that later, but right now, in this moment, he's going to rescue you. See, tomorrow will take care of itself. Today, he wants to rescue you today. And where does it begin today? Yeah, but I need to read my Bible more. Yeah, we all do. But I need to pray more. We do. I've got to get more worship in me. Yes, we all do. But today, we're talking about today. This isn't about rehearsing what all you need to do. What is needing done today? Here's what you need to do today. You need to look up and say, help me, dear Jesus. Holy Spirit, help me. That's why we were handed over to him. Jesus lives in us by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the very one that delivers the healings to us. It's because of Calvary. It's because it's been recorded. He watches over his own word to perform it. Yes, 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 1,000 times yes. But it's getting to a place where we can function within this Godhead, how they all work mysteriously to help you and me, to help us come out, to help us go through, and help us get in. That's what God did. He brought them out of Egypt, through the wilderness, into the promised land. In our whole life, God's bringing us out of something and through stuff and into that land to possess that inheritance, that place, that assignment, that calling that He has for each one of us. He saw the wind boisterous and he began to sink. You will. When you begin to believe everything that you see and everything that you hear and everything that you feel, with the way this fake news and cancel culture is working, they are working overtime to steal every seed of faith that's been put in you. The seed of faith. It can't be corrupted, but it can be stolen. It can't be corrupted, but it can be stolen. And he's doing his best to steal these seeds. And God is saying today, don't let him steal that seed of faith, that seed of healing, that seed of prosperity, that seed of hope for tomorrow, that seed of your whole family coming to know him. Don't let that seed be stolen. Ask for help today. And what's the promise? And immediately. Why aren't we seeing more immediately? Because too many people are trying to do it on their own. Not just without the assistance of people, but without even the assistance of God himself. We live in I can take care of it generation. I can fix it. Don't worry, I'll take care of it. I can handle that. How many funerals have I done where the people said he could hold the alcohol? Evidently he couldn't. How many times have people did something they thought, I got a handle on this. I can drive at 95, 100. I know how to maneuver. I know how. I can do this. Life is filled with margins of error and mistakes. And sometimes the line between life and death is so razor thin. And all it takes is someone who thinks, I don't need any help. I'm a great swimmer. Preachers, I don't need to pray, I can preach. Singers, I don't need to ask for an anointing, I can sing. On and on and on, and so all of a sudden we run into something, and all of a sudden we're sinking, and we don't know why. You've lost needing help from the one and only one can help you the most. And what I like about this story, as much as the fact that Peter was rescued, he did it immediately. I'm going to pray today for you. I'm going to pray that you look up, look in, look out, and you lift up your voice. I mean, raw and real. Say, Jesus, I've been with you for 40 years, but I'm calling on you. I need you. I know the promises, and I've rehearsed them, and I even quote them back to you, but Lord, I need you. I've everything I've said, I believe, but I need you to keep me. There's nothing wrong. No one should ever criticize you or look down on you because you may need him at a greater degree. Sometimes it's even those of us that have been with the Lord a long time that we need him more than we even realize. I meet so many today, as I said, that run on all kinds of things. You can all be changed. You can take a step back and say, Lord, I've kind of gotten ahead of myself. I've gotten independent of you. Today, I need you today. I need you today. I need you to strengthen my inner man. I need you to send that person across my path. I need you to quicken a verse to me that maybe I haven't read or I don't know yet. I love you and I live for you, but I've grown independent of you. I want to bring my faith back into the one that matters the most. The one who can make things happen. Not next year, not 10 years, but instantly. I do it today. I call on you now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Do that today, my friend. Would you do that today? Make it a conscious effort at some point before you lay your head on your pillow tonight, before you close those eyes and look forward to another day. Begin to say, Lord, save me. Lord, deliver me. And I believe you're going to begin to see an instant relief of his presence and then his power. That's your word for today.
For more information about this and other teachings by Pastor Billy, please call 1-888, the number 7, and the word healed. Or in the Tampa area, call 813-287-2116. The mailing address is Billy Burke, World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box 25441, Tampa, Florida 33622. That's Billy Burke, World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box 25441, Tampa, Florida 33622. Or you can look us up on the web at www.billyburke.org.